to get on with a message here. So last week, the question was, can you know God? Last couple weeks, can you know God? Can you know the invisible God, the one true living God, the one you can't see with your eyes, you don't hear with your ears, you can't touch with your hands, and there's many false gods that you can hear and see and touch, and there's many counterfeits, but can you really know the capital G God of the universe, the Creator God? And to me, the answer is clearly and an emphatic yes, absolutely. We can know the Creator of the universe. He has made himself known in many ways. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know. Everybody say, know. Say, I can know. I can know God. Yes, I can know. Be still and know that I am God. And he will, says, he'll be exalted among the nations, in the earth. And we can know him because he's made himself known through Jesus Christ. Not just this theory, tangible evidence, historical declarations and evidence that the living God appeared on earth, the incarnate one, the Creator God, put himself into a human body and came to earth. And we celebrated what he did primarily was he came to die. And we remember this morning his death and burial and resurrection and the cross, the power of the cross for all of us. We can not only know him, but we can hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. God does speak to us all the time. And I know it's a challenge. I'm a pastor. It's a challenge. I'm still learning. And it's always it's like, God, speak to me. God, let me hear your voice. Let me be led by your spirit. I don't want to just do my thing. I don't want to just ask you to bless what I'm doing. I want to be with what you're doing. I want to be doing what you're doing. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. And that's the start, just hearing the voice of God, not just with your natural ears, but in your heart and your spirit. That's the beginning. It's one thing to hear him. The reality comes when you obey, when you do what you hear. And that's what he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's the key. They follow me. They don't just hear. Don't be hearers only, but doers of the word. That's where the real life comes. That's where the real wisdom comes, when you're a doer of the word of God. And he speaks through his word and through his spirit. So the logos and the rhema, we talk about, it's the written word. You want to know the will of God? Read the Bible. Absolutely guaranteed you will know the will of God. But then he speaks individually, moment by moment, day by day, and it'll never contradict the written word. It'll be in alignment with the written word. But God does speak to us individually. And so we combine, and then what we need to do is not just hear it and do it, but there's another, well, first says, you know, when God says forgive someone, when he's speaking to you, you know, the word says you should forgive all people. In fact, if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us our sins. It's one thing to read that. It's another thing to do it. Another thing to hear specifically that, you know what, you're holding something against this person. You need to make it right. You need to go work that out. And that requires, it's like, well, God, but you don't understand. You know, he did this or she did this, and this is, I can't do it. It's like, no. We hear it, we know it, we read it, and we go do it, but we have to mix it with faith. We got to combine faith, because you don't know the result. You don't know what's going to come from that. You don't know how they'll respond. You don't know what the fruit of that will be. But you trust God that you mix it with faith. So anyway, 1 John 2:3 says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands, and we mix it with faith. Because the Israelites came out of Egypt, but they didn't come into the promised land, it says, because they didn't combine it with faith. They heard the message. They heard from God. They didn't mix it with faith, and so they perished in the wilderness. We have to mix it with faith to know God, to really know God, to really know him, not just know about him, not just know about George Washington. You can know about George Washington. You will never meet. I mean, you can't. Okay, you get what I'm saying. You can know about God, but you can know God right here and now. Not just know about him, you can know him now, while you're still alive on this side of heaven. And it's by faith. And I put a quote up there, faith is not about everything turning out okay. Faith is about being okay no matter how things turn out. That's real faith. It's like, oh, it didn't work out. Faith didn't work. No, faith is faith. You trust God no matter how it goes. That's real faith. And that pleases God. When you're praying for something and it doesn't work out the way you thought, and you say, God, I trust you. I trust that you know that you know what you're doing better than I know what you're doing. You know what you're doing in a bigger picture than I know in my little slice. And that pleases God. That honors God when we say, you know what, that didn't go how I, that was a no. I was praying for a yes, but God, I trust you. That is what pleases God. That's real faith. So one more aspect about knowing God I want to look at today. Now think about, and I love how the Lord speaks through the worship time, which is a wonderful time. We love worshiping Jesus here. We love worshiping with our whole being, body, soul, and spirit. Think about the time that you began or you started getting interested or started wondering about, is Jesus knowable? Is he real? Think about how your walk with God began. Was there somebody that approached you, somebody that talked to you, somebody that lived in such a way in your life that you can think back on, wow, that person, I can think of the two or three or four people in my life that really were the initiators of my walk with God. Can you think of people? Because I wanna read a passage, and it's not on the screen, but it is Mark 5. I just want you to think about who influenced your life for Christ at the beginning. At the beginning. Now I'm going to paraphrase a little bit of this story. It's not up there, but it's Mark 5, verse 1 through 20, I believe. I'm going to just keep that up there just like that. So it says they went, Jesus and the disciples went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him. They put him chains and shackles on him. They were trying to control him, trying to stop him from hurting himself and hurting others, but he kept breaking out. He was demon-possessed. He kept breaking the chains, breaking the irons on his hands and feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of him, come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area, not to send them out of the area. And a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. And the herd was about 1,000 in number, and they rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned themselves. They all committed mass suicide with these demons in them. And those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They were afraid seeing that transformation because they knew this guy was messed up, a whole lot of messed up. Anyone here been a whole lot of messed up? Okay, maybe not just like this, maybe not describing this in this way, but I know I can say I was a whole lot of messed up. And they were afraid seeing what happened to this guy. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. It's like they couldn't handle it. It's like, Jesus, you need, can you go away from here? And Jesus was getting into the boat, and he honored their request. He's leaving. This is on the Sea of Galilee. He's getting into the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. This newly transformed man, demon-free, wanted to go with Jesus. Now, if I, you know, as a pastor, I'd say, heck yeah, come with us. You know, God is doing things, and we're going to, you know, keep building this ministry. Join us. And Jesus said, no. He did not let him. Then verse 19 says, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, which is the 10 cities of the region there, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. I want you to say, tell them. Say, go tell them. Jesus said, go to your family and tell them. And we know it's beyond family. Begins with family. But go tell what the Lord has done for you. That is the message. That is what I'm calling today is about knowing God. Just go tell them. So I want to pray, Father, we just thank you for your word and just pray that you would speak to us about our role and how you have blessed us with a story, with a message to tell others. Father, give us insight into your word and speak to us by your spirit. Lord, speak to us through your word, speak to us by your voice. Thank you that we hear from you. I thank you for the stories that you have and for everyone here. Bless our time. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. So, so raise your hand if you can remember somebody that told you first, that you can think back of somebody that told you, okay? And maybe you grew up in a Christian home, but your parents told you. Somebody told you. Somebody transferred the message on verbally or in action, in deed and in word. Now, the old Christmas song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain. What? That Jesus Christ is born. Can we just say it? Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That's the best message you could ever tell anywhere, anytime, any generation. Tell them what? Tell them what? Tell them your story. Tell them your testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death or threat. That is a powerful person in the hands of God. The person that knows their life is transformed by the blood of the Lamb that we celebrated this morning through the cross, and their testimony. Because no one can argue. They can argue with this. Well, this is what I think this verse says. Oh, really? I don't think it says that. I think it says this. And you can get into arguments, which we're encouraged not to get into. But they can't say, that didn't happen to you. You don't have peace now. You're still whatever. It's like, no, you're just telling your story. That's what it means to be a witness. And God has given each of us a story that is personal, very personal, that we can tell others, and it brings life. And this is the design that God has made. Number one point, we are God's messengers. God is all about getting his story out about how lives are changed. We are the Uber of communications. Every one of you uses your own ways and means to impact someone else's life. It's not done primarily through the corporate, you know, company, the church. in the sense of buildings. It is the church in the sense of people. That is, it is God's design, God's company of hosts of his workers that are given a story, a personal, unique, specific story of how God has shown mercy on you and the great things that God has done for each of you. And that is your most powerful weapon against the enemy, to speak and share, because no one can fight that. No one can argue that. The more years that I'm in ministry, the more people that I get to know, and it's not easy to get to know people deeply on a Sunday morning at all. That's why we encourage connections and men's road trips and different things, meals and so on, because you get to hear the stories. You get to know the background. It's like, wow. And some of these stories took decades to develop. And then, man, that was a long-term plan of God to see step by step, stepping stone of how he transformed a person's life and what he brought them out of. And I know every individual story, if it would be written down, and I say this all the time, it would be a New York bestseller, just your personal life story in the context of what God has done. Because he does some incredible, amazing things in the midst of difficulties and heartache. So we are God's system to spread the good news. It's not the clergy. It's not just the clergy. Well, thank you. Ooh, good catch. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes. Drink the frog away. That's better. Thank you. Well, it's lemon. There's lemon in there. Do you want me to pass it? I can pass this around. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate that. Helps a lot. So after his resurrection, it's not the clergy's job. He spoke to his disciples and he said, go, you guys. It's not the job of the pastor. The pastor's going to do that. Oh, the paid one or the full-time one or the you know, the youth ministers, they're going to, it's like, no, everyone has a story. Everyone is called into that worldwide work of God to communicate the best news the planet will ever know. Right. Amen. And so after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples, the resurrected Jesus. He appears to them, and in John 20:21, he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And this is not just the apostles, this is to all that are his sons and daughters. And I just want you to let it sink in that this is the message that involves heaven, hell, God, Satan, every nation on earth. Something that happened in an obscure little town in a region called Ur when Abraham heard from God and God told him, this little Middle Eastern desert area, and he left his town and went to a tiny little area now we know as Israel. And from that, faithful men and women have been getting that message out in ever-increasing, broadening circles. And we are here today in Faribault, Minnesota, impacted by the faithfulness of generations that have gone before us to tell that story. Before there was internet, before there was the printed press, before there was any kind of, it was all word of mouth. It was all word of mouth. And I think it's the beauty, we know it's the wisdom of God that even the language, the Roman dynasty was in place in the fullness of time that God allowed the Romans to design roadways, communications, messengers, systems to deposit the King of Kings in Bethlehem in that setting so that when the story was told, it immediately went as far as the known world and continued. And we're beneficiaries of that. People were faithful enough in multiple generations to keep that story going so that you and I could live forever. and be forgiven and have hope and have joy and have purpose in this life, beyond this life, but also in this life. Have meaning, to actually have answers to, is this it? You know, the question I had as a young, successful graduate of my chosen profession, and I'm paid well, I had a lot of money, and I had all the time in the world to blow it on stupid things. And I looked around and said, is this it? Is this it? Do I just grow old and retire and then I'm dead and that's it in a few years? and that was the question that God started my journey. And it was a college friend and it was an older sibling of mine that started talking to me about Jesus. And it was praying grandparents that I didn't know until later, grandparents that were praying for me daily that I would come to know the love and the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. And so I want you to let it sink in that you are God's plan to change the eternal destinies of people around you. People that are hopelessly lost, have no healthy purpose, no long-term purpose. They're objects of God's wrath, and God has placed you in their lives so that you can shine for Christ. There is no plan B. It's like, we are it. But after he said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you, it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, which is a key, that we have the Holy Spirit. It's not just our strength and wisdom and our gifts and our, thank you, Jesus, that it's not just based on our abilities to really get the word out. It's his Spirit in us. He partners with us. And then he talks about forgiveness and that receive the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about forgiveness, declaring forgiveness over people, helping them know that they're forgiven. John the Baptist had disciples that followed him, and then two in particular transitioned from following him to following Jesus. And Andrew, the brother of Peter, was one of them. And in John 1:41 says, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon, who was Peter, and tell him. Everyone say, tell him. He found his brother Peter, who we know, Peter, and tell him, we have found the Messiah. That is the Christ, the Deliverer, the Savior. And he brought Peter to Jesus. So Andrew was a God seeker. His brother Peter wasn't. Peter wasn't following John, but he went and found his brother and said, we found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. This is the system that, in a nutshell, and the world now knows Peter. Simon Peter, we know all about him because his brother introduced him to Jesus. God knows you because somebody introduced you to Jesus. And others will know Jesus because you introduced them to Jesus. It's the way God designed it. Does it always work? No. Does it always bear fruit? No. Go tell your family. Well, that the family can be the toughest nuts to crack, as we know, if you've tried it all. They're tough. You know them well, they know you well, and I'm the youngest of five brothers, and there wasn't a whole lot of like, hey, really, tell me more. When when my life was changed, they're like, you're nuts, go away. But family can be tough. But it doesn't excuse us from not trying. Doesn't excuse us from not shining before them and trying to help them. They may refuse it. It's up to God. That's between them and God. Maybe a number of reasons why they refuse it. Maybe because you're a jerk about it. Maybe you're not communicating very well. too forceful, too hypocritical, maybe living hypocritically. There's a lot of reasons, but God is in all of that to help us learn from it and grow as individuals. He knows he's working with, you know, look around. It's like, and say, man, look at your neighbor and say, God, you're all God has to work with. It's like, you're it. This is it. This is what God's got. And that's all he needs. That is all he needs. Because it's about him, not us. It's about his perfection, not our perfection. It's about his grace and his mercy, his forgiveness, not just about our awesomeness. So for whatever reason they reject, it's like, keep shining, grow from it, learn from it. Take to heart those areas that need refining in your own life. Well, I don't know enough about Jesus to tell others. Well, I want to look at number two, point two. We learn about Jesus by telling others. This is how in Philemon it says in verses 4-6, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. That is a wonderful promise that as you share, and I've done this many, many a time, you're in some setting, wherever you are, and you start sharing, and it's like things just come, and you just want to share the good news. You want to tell them, and they'll bring up things, and two things happen. Either one is you get really excited about, man, because you know how when you start, you want to tell somebody something, bounce an idea off someone, and sometimes immediately you start bouncing that idea off, and it sounds really stupid. Like, okay, I already know I'm not going to do this idea. Other times you get really excited. It's like as you're talking about it, it just starts to gel. It starts to come alive, and you just get excited about what Jesus is. I have forgiveness. I have peace. I have joy. I have a purpose. I know where I'm going forever. And it's just fun to talk about. It's just fun to talk about when you talk about it with others. And so it's you encourage yourself, and there's times when you realize, man, you're just encouraging yourself, and it goes back and forth. I was going into the Fleet Farm drive-thru. I had to go through the back area to pick something up, and the guy said, what do you know? And I said, Jesus loves me. The rest is speculation. And I don't always say that, but when they say, what do you know? And most people know, Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know that? For the Bible tells me so, right? Most people, even that don't go to church, know that. So I took a chance. Well, I ended up having like a 10-minute conversation with this guy in the gate with a clipboard. And he's talking to me about his church and where do I go and where, and he's a country church outside of south of Owatonna. And we had a great conversation both going in and then coming out. He wanted to talk some more, another 15 minutes leaving the yard to talk about this minister and this thing and what does your church do for this and that. And it was a great encouraging, and it's all started with by him asking me, what do you know? And simple things, and it doesn't always, you know, I'm not great at it. I don't always take advantage of things like that, but it was a fun one, and it's a fun thing to do. And sometimes people just look at you, weirdo, and just change the subject, and they won't bite. But it's bait, you know, it's just putting a bait out there. You're in a conversation, and you say something like, man, I was reading in the Bible this morning, and da-da-da-da-da. In the setting of whatever the conversation is with someone I don't even know, but you're in a setting where you can have a little conversation, and you never know what might come about, but as you're active in sharing your faith, you will grow in a fuller understanding of all the riches that we have in Christ. The fun things. So sometimes you'll be stumped, no doubt. Someone will ask you something or mention something, you know, to zing you or whatever, and it's like, wow, that's a good one, you know. And you don't have to come back with it, just like, wow. And go home and learn more about that. Learn a good, healthy, godly, wonderful, loving response to that. Because our goal is not to get into an argument and win an argument. That is, it's not. It's to shine the love, the grace of God to people who aren't really aware of it. And it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. And there are times when I've had people, whether it's a hitchhiker or someone that I remember giving this guy a ride, a coworker that I didn't know, needed a ride from Castle Rock to Faribault. So I had a half hour with this guy I just met. And had a conversation where, you know, where you're from, background, and so you're living with a girl, huh? Why don't you commit? Why? So you don't love her much, huh? Oh yeah, So why are you keeping the back door open? Why aren't you committing to? And it was a conversation that eventually led to, I found out later, he proposed. And it changed his thinking. It's like, yeah, why am I keeping the back door open? I'm committed to this relationship. And it's not just about salvation, because that's good. We share the story of Jesus for salvation, eternal salvation, but it's also to share life and wisdom and the promises of God, the blessing of God, the design of God for this life. And some will listen, some won't. The responses are all over the place, but that's not up to, our job is not to make results. Our job is to proclaim good news. And the results are in God's hands. And you might be one link in the chain of many events that happen over that person's life that really connects the story to a point where they can decide for Christ. And we want to keep that healthy and godly. So he will cause the increase. We plant the seeds, but it's God who causes the increase in his timing. Another one, after the resurrection, the disciples met. Jesus said, meet me in Galilee. So they're in Jerusalem, way north. Meet me in Galilee. They did. The 11 met him in, and it says, some worshipped him and some doubted. It's like, what? They met the resurrected Jesus in Galilee, and it said, some worshipped, but some still doubted. It's like they're looking at him, and they weren't quite sure what to make of this. I appreciate every time I read times where Jesus is preaching or the Apostle Paul is preaching, and it says some believed and some didn't. Some believed and listened for hours. One fell asleep and fell out the window and died. Thankfully, you're all not sitting on window ledges here. You're all sitting on nice chairs. And the person was raised from the dead, but they fell asleep while the Apostle Paul was preaching. So I'm okay if you guys get your Sunday nap in. I don't feel so bad. If they did it to Paul, they can do it to me. But some will respond well, some won't. It's like, that's not our job. Our job is not to make them respond. That's called jamming it down someone's throat, and that's what we don't want to. That's not what we're here for. So what if my walk isn't very strong? What if my life is a bad example? Now, I can't share about these things. My life is just kind of messed up. Well, the demoniac was encouraged to go tell his story. He was a little messed up. But, you know, be honest. Be transparent. Get real. That's what God wants, is real people who aren't perfect, who are still learning, still in process, sharing their story. You know, you don't arrive and then you know, take parenting, you know, become parents. Then you might go to a class or two. You can do this. There's the grace of God, his spirit in you to share the good news. And I look at this, go tell it on the mountain. I don't know the background of this song, I'm not saying this, but when I think of this, that song, the mountain, what do we think of the mountain as the high, like, whoa, Jesus is real. He changed my life. The mountaintop experience. This is awesome. Over the hills. The hills have valleys. What makes a hill? Well, a valley makes a hill. It's like life can be up and down and up and down. Tell it then too. Tell it when it's not all smooth sailing. And tell it everywhere. Tell it everywhere. There is no exception to where and what and how we are doing to tell the good news. And not just the salvation news of his resurrection and so on, but news of forgiveness, of life, of healthy relationships, of purpose, of you're part of a worldwide thing that the eternal God is doing on the earth. You're part of a massive thing, much bigger than this church or any church. It's the church, worldwide, multinational, international thing that God is doing. And that's, I mean, talk about a cool brand to be part of, is the eternal work of God. And that this earth is temporary. This planet is temporary in its form right now. We're living in the age of after the cross, before his second coming. There's a point A and a point B to that. That's not just a ethereal. There's an A to B, and we're in there somewhere. And there will be a massive, major change. And there's a message. There's a job description right now. It's like we need to get healthy, get healed, get moving on to being fit for service. And that's part of the job of the church. It's a hospital. It's a hospital to get healed, but it's not only a hospital. It's an army. It's not only an army. It's a university. It's to get trained up, and it's not just a university. It's a hospital, and it's always at the same time. Always at the same time. It's all these things to get the message out. You don't send soldiers out that have broken legs, and you don't send healthy people to stay in the hospital all the time. They eventually are sent. Made, built, and healed to be sent. And so, over the hills, everywhere, it's the Deuteronomy passage. Tell this to your children. Tell them when you're coming, when you're going, when you're lying down, when you're rising up. Tell them, talk about this all the time, everywhere. And you'll get some crazy fun conversations going. Some really, really fun stories that you can use in sermons regularly. When things happen like that, it helps a lot. Some will receive it, some won't, but you are equipped. So how do I tell them? Say something like I said, you know, I was reading in the Bible, or hey, did you know that, blah blah blah. Just bring up. I'm fishing. You know, I'm always fishing. Try to bring up key words like church, Bible, God, keywords, and sometimes they'll go, huh, really? And they'll say something about it, and I'll say, yeah, do you ever read the Bible? Or they won't say anything about it, and then I'll know it's like a different approach. It's like maybe a different keyword, hope, forgiveness, peace, joy. And get them going in that way. If they have no, and more people have zero church relationship or connection at all. And I just commend, you know, we're in a challenging era, where the, so anyway, I don't even want to speak that. God is using the church, amen. Period. It's his plan A. It's the people of God that he's using. So it's not about buildings, we know that. It's about the people. So one thing, I wanted to show you the 15-word gospel. You can put it up there. The 15-word gospel is God loves us, we are sinners, Jesus paid for our sins, we must receive Jesus. Those are four points that you can put in your own words. It's just a simple way that our pastor, Gary Gilbertson from Northfield, put this into 15 words. And it really is just to illustrate the four points that, the one is God loves us. For everything we do, we just know, communicate, God loves us. It's all from a not an angry God, not a, you know, revengeful God, that God loves us. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Some way or another, God loves us. And then some way or another, say the fact that despite his love, we're sinners. We have broken God's perfection. We have broken his laws, we have sinned, we have failed to be living up to what he designed us to be. There's sin in the world, there's problems in the world, anyone and everyone can agree with that. There's problems in the world, and it all goes back to disobeying God in the garden. So some point about that to let people, because until you know the problem, you don't appreciate the solution. Until you know that you got an issue, the knight in shining armor comes along, you didn't even know you're in danger. So that's kind of just fun thing. There's a knight in shining armor. Cool. Well, if you know that you're about to get devoured by the dragon, and then that knight in shining armor comes, well, then it's good news. So if you know that, if you don't think you're a sinner, and there's no problem, well, that doesn't matter if Jesus paid for your sins, because you didn't have a problem to begin with. But if you, so there's these things you got to set the stage a little bit for them to appreciate. Jesus paid for our sins. That's the point three. And then it's up to us. It doesn't matter that Jesus did this, the cross, the resurrection. We need to know that we need to decide. We have to decide to receive, to believe, to accept. To those who believe and receive, to those he gave the right to become children of God. So I want to wrap it up here. I do want to, those are some things to remember, to include, and at least have in the back of your mind as you're visiting with people and trying to get that message, share the message, all in a loving, respectful tone. In Daily News, Faribault paper, this was just this week, came across this article and it struck me. Minnesota IT Services says, Min IT has dozens of incomplete projects, millions unspent. This is the title of this article. And I'm just going to read part of it. It says, the agency charged with making sure the state's computers are up to date did a poor job of overseeing projects, leaving dozens unfinished and $23 million in taxpayer dollars unspent. Goes on to say a total of 209 IT projects worth more than $79 million were approved for this account between the 10-year period from 07 to 17. As of March this year, state agencies had either not started or completed 95 of those projects, leaving a balance of $23 million in the account of unspent budgeted funds for these IT jobs that are just sitting, not having any progress. So as the state audit identified inadequate oversight, this is in quotes, and non-compliance at all five project stages, initiation, planning, execution, monitoring, and completion. They found they failed in all these five stages. State Rep Jim Nash says he was disappointed by MNIT's handling of a fund that should have been far simpler than they have made it. So think about it. So this was budgeted. This was taxpayer budgeted, funded, $79 million. Of that $79 million, $23 million is sitting on the shelves in projects that are getting dusty that they failed to take initiative, failed to plan, to execute, to monitor, and to complete. And it got me thinking that we can make excuses. God has given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us riches beyond comprehension. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. He's given us all we need for life and godliness. He has given us all we need. He says, wait for power from on high to receive the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses in Faribault, in Rice County, in Minnesota, in the U.S., in the nations, the end of the earth, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He's given us all we need to make an impact on the world, and a lot of it is just sitting in the bank account, and we're not using it. And God wants us to use it. He has, you have what it takes. You have what it takes to make a difference in people around you. Some won't receive it, some will. Some won't be impacted by it, some will. Don't let the some won't be an excuse for neglecting that some will. And I just know that we're called to this as God's plan. This is his idea, this is his system, and this is his grace is on this. His spirit is in this. He is our best cheerleader, and we are the recipients, the product of faithful people that have gone before us. Can we just sing, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. One more time. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Let's stand up and I'll close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for